Blog Talk Radio.
From Dallas, Texas, I'm Chad Burleson, and this is The Chad Report. It is Wednesday, December 30th, 2015, only one day left until we have 2016, the new year. And to that I say, sayonara, sayonara, thank God, don't ever come back. How's that? And here to join me is... After all that, okay. Here to join me, as always, my partner and co-host, Jeff Rivers. Jeff, do you share the same?
Starting to do better now that the year's almost in, I take it then, right?
Oh, God. What a horrible year. I mean, really, F, I give it an F. I don't know. I think you feel the same. There was just a lot of...
It's been a tough year.
It's been a very tough year.
Maybe a D.
Well, and I might, too. There's a few things that I can tick off. My younger sister had a baby, and, you know, she didn't think she could have children. And so this baby, my little nephew, Rollin, was a miracle. That was good. My daddy was retired after a 46-year career. That was good. My cousin got married. We went to Colorado and went to that ceremony. That was wonderful. My aunt, who I'm very close to, who's a widower, found love again. That was nice. And Star Wars smashed box office records. That was nice, I thought. Jeff, and other than that, that's the only thing that really comes to mind. The rest of it, the pits. Okay. Did I miss anything?
Exactly.
Your silence speaks volumes. But no, but you know what? 2016 is a new year. Like, it's, you know, I could spend the whole hour complaining about things this year, but we're not going to put listeners through that. But yes, and some people probably had a good, you know, that's just personally how I feel. For some people, it was a great year. You know, it just depends on the person.
Right.
Everybody, you know, you can't blanket. Some people say, oh, that was a great year for me. This one was not. Because I've heard some people say, you know, years were horrible. And I'm thinking, not for me. That was a great year, you know. So,
right.
Anyway. Okay, well, we've got a lot going on today, so let's just dive right in. The Texas teen, known for his affluenza defense after he was given probation for killing four people in a 2013 drunken driving crash, and his mother will stay in Mexico for at least three more days, an official with the U.S. Marshals Service said today. Ethan Couch and his mother, Tanya, were apprehended Monday in the Mexican resort town of Puerto Vallarta, but a lawyer that they retained in Mexico filed paperwork today to try to fight extradition to the United States, according to Tarrant County Sheriff and District Attorney. An official with Mexico's Migration Institute said Ethan Couch was granted a three-day court injunction, according to the Associated Press. And although it wasn't immediately clear whether Tanya Couch also was granted a delay, both likely will be able to stay in Mexico for longer than the next 3 days because of the holidays, Richard Hunter, Chief Deputy U.S. Marshal for the Southern District of Texas, said in a Wednesday press conference. The Mexican judge's ruling could lead to a weeks-long legal process if a judge decides Ethan Couch has grounds to challenge his deportation based on arguments that kicking him out of Mexico would violate his rights. The judge has 3 days to consider Couch's appeal. Quote, in my experience, 2 weeks is a minimum, Hunter said of the Paris fighting extradition. I don't anticipate this happening anytime soon, but I could be proven wrong. They are now in Mexican custody in Guadalajara, and Couch and his mother had been scheduled to return Wednesday to the United States after Mexican immigration officials were able to buy plane tickets. They needed six to include immigration officials who would guard them on the flight to Houston. Hunter said now the delay would allow Mexican officials to purchase seats on a flight directly to Dallas. He said, quote, we don't know when they are coming. We don't know when they will land. And, you know, Jeff, just following up on that, Couch has been missing officially since December 10th when he failed to show up for a mandatory meeting with his probation officer. However, Tarrant County Sheriff D. Anderson said Tuesday that he believed that Couch, now 18, actually fled in late November with his mother after a video surfaced showing him at a party that included alcohol, and the consumption of alcohol would be a violation of the terms of his probation. Well, first off, if and when he does come back, I can imagine that Mexico would, you know, fight this. At some point, I'm surprised that they actually granted him a stay. But he faces a maximum of 120 days in jail, Jeff, because it was charged in charged as a youth or a minor. So, however, his mother could face between 2 to 10 years in prison for harboring this, and you know, she's an adult, so right. She could actually go to prison, where he's only going to face at the maximum he's going to face is 120 days in Tarrant County Jail. Now, right. What they're trying to do is move this. Once that happens, they'd like to move him into adult court, so when his probation starts again, it's much stricter. And if he violates the probation, then he would go to prison as an adult. But as it stands right now, that will not happen for this probation violation.
How old was this teenager when he committed this offense?
That was late 2013. I believe he was 16. When I see this, I think of the flu. I'm like, no, that's influenza. I'd never heard of affluenza. That's just not a term I'm familiar with. I mean, I remember this. Right. I remember this trial, especially here in the Metroplex. But that was the first time I had heard that word before, affluenza. And really, Jeff, I was stunned because Texas is not known for handing out, you know, I always make the joke that Texans don't know what the word acquittal means. Good luck when you get tried in Texas, trying to get acquitted or found not guilty. That's not an easy task, as opposed to states like California or Florida, where, you know, sometimes it seems like, you know, sometimes I'm like, do they know what guilty is? You know,
exactly. Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that defense is just terrible. You know, I just don't think it has any merit whatsoever. You know, ignorance of the law is you know, you know, being ignorant to the law is no excuse. You've got to know what the law is. You've got to know right from wrong. And, you know,
and that affluenza means that he was too wealthy to know right from wrong. Because
yeah,
was
and I just don't agree. I just think that's just a bunch of crock. That's a crock, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know,
his
defense team rolled the dice with that.
A slap on the wrist.
And my aunt made that. She says, I'm just surprised every rich person doesn't use that then. And I thought, well,
right.
Because I think most people would think it wouldn't work, Jeff, to be honest.
Well, what about real poor people, indigent people that don't have access to good schooling and things like that? Well,
baby. You know right from wrong if you're poor. That's all right. You're not.
Yeah, see, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
And
I have a huge problem with it. And you know what it makes me think of, Jeff? That ridiculous, the famous Twinkie defense of the man who shot Harvey Milk and killed Harvey Milk in San Francisco back in the late 70s. You know, he was his defense used that was called the Twinkie defense. They said he consumed Twinkies and the sugar made him act irrationally, and he was, you know, he got nothing basically. And he later killed himself a few years later, and so, you know, it always catches up to you usually. But they bought that. And so it can never be used again, I don't think, because it was so, you know. But I would like to think this affluenza defense could never be used again as well with as much, you know, heat as they've taken over this. But I just couldn't believe that, you know, I have to give the defense team props for rolling the dice because, you know, they had the jackpot with that and it worked. But it's incredible to me. Four people are dead and someone has to be accountable for it. This kid got 10 years probation and he didn't want to serve 10 years probation. That was just not, you know, Jeff, that's pretty, the fact that you didn't have to spend one day in jail after you killed four people. First off, you're underage, so you shouldn't be drinking anyway. Second, you're on the road flying, you know what I mean, and driving erratically, and you don't get any jail time. I'm surprised that they should have put him, and I realize that when you're a minor, they can only do so much, you're like 21, but they should have put him in a juvenile detention center until he turned 21, I think. And he didn't even get that.
Right. Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Affluenza. I just shake my head. I'm just, you know, and
yeah.
Wow. And in Texas, of all places, I can't believe that that would work here. I guarantee you that wouldn't work in one of the smaller counties. Tarrant County is one of the larger counties in the state, is where Fort Worth is, for listeners that don't know. And you know, judges typically tend to be a little more lenient in larger counties than they do. And can you imagine a rural county of a defense to try to pull that? Please.
Oh, wow. They'd get laughed out of town.
They would have been like, shut the hell up. Yeah, no, but so, yeah, I come back and serve your 120 days and do your time. And again, four people are dead because of you. You know what I mean? And the mother, too. What does this say about his mother? She's the one who, they had a going away party. So she is really responsible for this, if not more so. I mean, if this is, you know, you're supposed to set an example for your child. And the reason he got off is because his parents were so affluent that he didn't know right from wrong because he was too, you know, had it so easy and, you know, and wealthy. So I think she deserves to be punished, you know. What do you think,
right,
Jeff? I mean, she's the one that took him to Mexico. I mean, this was her idea.
Right. I'm not sure. Ultimately, he's the one that committed the offense. I don't like how she's.
But he is a minor.
She's his mother. Well, you've got
to
make your child responsible for their actions, and they've got to learn from things when they make mistakes.
And you have to set an example for your child, though, as well.
Right, right. So, but I don't. Do I think she deserves jail time for it? I don't know. Any parent, you know, possibly would want to help protect their child, but. You know, that parent has to realize that her child made an egregious mistake. And so, you know, I think that she should be put on probation or something like that for a period of time where she has to do community service and has to maybe, help with children that are less fortunate in things.
She
and
needs
maybe
something.
Learn.
I just disagree.
I agree
with you a little bit, but I think a little bit harsher because, like, once again, she was behind this. She planned this going away party. This was her influence. And he's 18 now, yes. But again, she's the one responsible for this. I mean, I'm sorry. I just think that she
avoiding the courts and stuff like that. That's what, I forget what it is. I forget the terminology, but the fact that she went to another country to avoid
a fugitive,
the law,
is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, being like a fugitive, right. That's what makes it that where you have an argument for the jail time, as far as I'm concerned, you know. But it certainly wouldn't be more than 6 months, you know.
I just think it's a terrible example.
Right.
He's an adult now, but, you know, but the fact that the whole affluenza meaning is that his parents didn't teach him right from wrong because he didn't have to because he was so rich. He didn't.
And the parents still not teaching him because the parents showing that you can run from your problems when you make a mistake and not have to pay for them. So they're still
right, and checking in with a probation officer, that's not that. That's pretty light when you've killed four people.
There's,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
What are you running
absolutely.
From? Incredible. All right, we've got much more news to get to. But first, on this day in 2006, Iraqi citizens took to the streets to celebrate the news that their brutal president, Saddam Hussein, had been executed by hanging, ending his 30-year dictatorship. At the movies, Night at the Museum, an American fantasy comedy film starring Ben Stiller and Robin Williams, was in its second straight week at the top of the box office, and the number one song on the land was this.
Keep talking and rest, that's fine. Could you walk and talk at the same time? And it's my name, it's on that tag. So come move your back, let me call.
superstar Beyoncé and the biggest hit of her career, Irreplaceable. Number one for 10 weeks on the pop charts and number one on the R&B charts for 9 straight weeks. And,
you know,
arguably that's, I think that's probably my favorite one by her. That is a great song.
Yeah. Awesome, awesome song.
This woman is 34 years old, and she already has racked up 20-plus solo hits, and then over, I know Destiny's Child had around 10, between 10 and 15, a very successful artist, and will go down in the history books as one of the most. So she's still got a lot ahead of her, and she's really got some vocal chops, you know?
Absolutely.
I've always My thing with Beyonce, I've always wanted her to do like some kind of song with just her and a piano, because so many of her, and I realize that's where the music industry is. It's very, these songs today are so busy with so many instruments and so much going on. It doesn't showcase how, this woman has a beautiful voice and a strong voice. And sometimes I think it gets lost a little bit in the, I mean, it's, she sounds great, but I'd like to see her in just something stripped down a little bit more. You know what I mean?
Right. It'd be nice.
Very good stuff by Beyonce. Okay, not so good stuff. Prosecutors in a Philadelphia suburb charged Bill Cosby with sexual assault today. It marks the first time charges have been officially brought against the beleaguered comedian, who has been accused by upwards of 60 women now. Cosby, 78, arrived to be arraigned in front of a magistrate in Elkins Park, Pennsylvania at around 2:35 p.m. Eastern Time and was finishing out again within 10 minutes. He pleaded not guilty, posted $1 million bail, putting down 10% as called for under Pennsylvania law, and turned over his passport as a condition for being released on bail. He went next to the Cheltenham Police Department for booking. Wearing one of his trademark sweaters, he was helped into and out of the courthouse by two people on either side. His lawyers have said recently he has severe eye problems and is nearly blind. The official charge is second-degree aggravated indecent assault. Montgomery County Assistant District Attorney Kevin R. Steele defined the act as penetration without the consent of his victim, a former Temple University employee, Andrea Constand. If convicted, Cosby could get 5 to 10 years in prison and up to a $25,000 fine. Quote, pills were provided, wine was provided. The victim was frozen, paralyzed. A person in that condition is not able to give consent, Steele said. The evidence is strong and sufficient enough to proceed with the charges, he added. The decision by his boss, newly elected District Attorney Risa Furman, reverses a decision by her predecessor who had ruled that there was not enough evidence to warrant an arrest. Constand expressed gratitude via her legal team for the, quote, consideration, courtesy, and professionalism of Steele's team. Then she said she would not comment further. So, this is just, I'm so disappointed in Bill Cosby, first of all. 60 women now, you know, more than there's that much smoke, I'm one to believe there's fire, Jeff. I mean, that's
right.
A lot. You know,
I'm just surprised it went this long without him being, brought up under formal charges.
And to be honest with you, I am too. And I think because this falls in, so many of those now are past the statute of limitations, but this falls within that, and that's why this one has gone forward. I guess because he was so powerful. I mean, say it again.
Is this a case of affluenza?
It's a case of, thank you. This is a case of being America's dad as the Cosby Show. I mean, was there anyone more powerful in the 80s? Again, a legendary comedian, hilarious man, who was on the verge of a huge comeback just before this all broke, if you remember. NBC had green-lighted a new sitcom for him and everything. So that's why I find it a little hard to believe. And today I watched this play out, and I was like, okay, you know, the defense is really playing up this. He's nearly blind. Well, if he's nearly blind, then how was he going to do a new sitcom? And, and I've seen him on late-night shows as well. And he must have some great context because he wasn't wearing glasses and he seemed to be able to see exactly what he was doing. So, whatever.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But, yeah, I couldn't believe it took so long to get this, getting charged.
It's unfortunate because this is a hilarious man, but you can't, you know, he's not the things he has. I feel bad for these women. You know, they trusted him.
Right.
I thought, I mean, the Bill Cosby we see on TV, you can understand why someone would trust someone like that too. You know what I mean?
Oh, right. Yeah, absolutely.
It's been a bizarre winter, to say the least, and Wednesday, being today, might just bring the weirdest moment yet. Get this, Jeff. It could be as warm as 40 degrees at the North Pole. That, as Discovery has explained, is a good 50 degrees warmer than usual, and it means that a place now engulfed in darkness 24 hours a day could be warmer than Southern California. Quote, that's absolutely terrifying and incredibly rare, writes meteorologist Eric Holthaus at Slate. Centered over Iceland, the storm that's responsible, the same system that brought December tornadoes through Texas, could end up being one of the top five storms ever recorded in the North Atlantic region. It'll be a meteorological marvel, he writes. In a region famous for ship-sinking waves and relentless blizzards, this storm may stand out for its sheer intensity. Expect 230-mile-per-hour winds roaring across the North Atlantic at aircraft cruising altitudes and lots more rain for an already soaked United Kingdom. And though this is a strong El Nino year, that's probably not the case here, writes Holthaus, noting that El Nino generally has little influence on Europe. Quote, this more than any other extreme weather event in a remarkable year for the climate feels like something new. Climate blogger Robert Sklober gets into the specifics of the, quote, daisy chain that's at play involving two other low-pressure systems in the North Atlantic, and he adds that it reeks of a human-forced warming of the Earth's climate. Holthaus, too, is worried about the same, writing that storms like this will go a long way toward making dire predictions of an ice-free Arctic within decades come true. But the Washington Post notes that some climate scientists are skeptical that global warming is playing a role in storms like these. So the global warming argument continues there, of course. But can you imagine the North Pole being warmer on a day than Southern California?
That's terrible.
That's unbelievable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I first read it, I was like, huh? I didn't know it ever even got 40 degrees at the North Pole. That's very warm that's above freezing. I didn't know that was even possible, you know. And again, it's completely dark 24 hours a day. So, what incredible. Wow.
Yeah.
Let's hope that's not the case. You know. Wow.
Exactly.
Okay, let's move on here. Consumer Reports magazine is known for its annual survey that asks car owners about reliability, but do owners actually like their cars? That's the question that the magazine tries to answer in its January issue. It looked at what owners thought of their cars, 230,000 from the last three model years. It's a survey aiming to rate which cars are considered most satisfying and which cars are not. least satisfying, I should say. The 10 most satisfying, number 10, Volkswagen Golf, 9, Subaru Outback, number 8, the BMW 2 Series, 7, the Ford Mustang, at number 6, Acura MDX, at number 5, Porsche 911, at number 4, Porsche Macan, 3, Porsche Cayman, number 2, Chevrolet Corvette, and number 1, the Tesla Model S, which is an electric car. And for those top 5, at what those are worth, you should be satisfied, first of all.
Exactly.
Hello.
Exactly.
Many people with that Electra Tesla Model S, though, it got great reviews. You charge it in your garage, and it goes – it's got some get-up-and-go, apparently, and goes for a very long time. So, but Porsche had 3 in the top 10. The Ford Mustang at number 7, that stands out to me. Wow. That's, you know.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Chevrolet Corvette at number 2. Have you seen the new Corvettes that – Hello.
I haven't. I need to look at them. I love Corvettes.
Very nice.
They're my favorite.
Okay, the 10 least satisfying. At number 10, the Nissan Pathfinder. At 9, the Fiat 500L. At number 8, the Nissan Juke. At number 7, the Nissan Versa Note. Ouch, Nissan's just taking a beating. At number 6, the Dodge Journey. At 5, the Hyundai Veloster. I don't even know what that is. At number 4, the Jeep Patriot. At 3, the Jeep Compass. Number 2, the Nissan Sentra, which is shocking to me. And the least satisfying car, Kia Rio. Her name is Rio, and she dances on the sand. Apparently not. And that's a compact entry level car that gets pretty good gas mileage, but apparently drivers are not satisfied. Okay. So, the Nissan Sentra at number two, least satisfying. That surprises me. I thought people that had Nissan Sentras were pretty happy with those.
Yeah, I would have thought that too.
Apparently they are not, so how's that? speaking of unsatisfied, Jeb Bush's campaign is canceling its Iowa television advertising buy and shifting money to double staff on the ground in January, the final month before the high-stakes Iowa caucuses. The news will raise questions about whether the former Florida governor might pull out of the Iowa given his fifth-place status, with just 6% support of likely GOP caucus-goers. That's not the case, Bush campaign manager Danny Diaz told the Des Moines Register. The number of Iowa paid staffers who make personal contact with voters will be boosted from 11 to more than 20, including its Hispanic outreach director, he said. Bush returns to campaign there January 11th through the 13th with stops in Iowa City, Des Moines, and Grinnell. The larger context is that Team Bush is making similar shifts from TV ads to its ground game in other early states, too. In January, they'll deploy 60 staffers from the Miami headquarters to the early states, including about 10 to Iowa. The Bush campaign itself has spent tens of millions of dollars so far on television ads to date, yet his candidacy has failed to catch on, something that rival Donald Trump has mocked him for. And I know he's spent over $40 million on ads in Iowa and basically has nothing to show for it. This is one of the worst campaigns I have ever seen on either side, really.
Right. And surprising. You know, it's surprising. I would have thought he would have been a front runner, you know, himself.
I think Jeb Bush actually is more intelligent than George W. Bush, but I think George W. Bush knew the game of politics and was a much better campaigner than Jeb is. I don't know if you feel the same or not, but George W. Bush knows how to schmooze. Jeb just seems like a stiff. It's just, you know what I mean? I don't know. It just seems like he doesn't have the fire either that George W. Bush had to win. It's just, you know, Donald Trump always makes fun of him, calling him low energy. And I it's almost sad. No candidate has ever had this much money and done so little with, you know, I mean, it's just terrible. The debates, he gets no boost from those because his debate performances are terrible. I mean, every debate we've seen so far, he just, you know. And I think just breaking before we went on the air, in the last quarter, Ted Cruz raised over $20 million. Is that correct?
Yeah, I heard something like that.
Yes, right before we went on. That's incredible. That's a lot of money. And Ted Cruz is, of course, in second place. Some polls show him in first in Iowa. The last poll I saw actually showed Donald Trump retaking first place in Iowa, though. But in the national polls, Ted Cruz is definitely second. So it'll be interesting to watch. You know, they're vote actually the 1st of February this year as opposed to in January. So we've got about a month out before the Iowa caucuses. So, if you think we've seen attacks so far, you ain't seen nothing yet, as the song goes. Oh, 2016, it's gonna be something else. And also, I want to say farewell to former New York Governor George Pataki. He has decided to suspend his campaign, Jeff, and
well, surprising.
He should have done that. He should have done this months ago. He was at 0%. And, you know, several of these should drop out. This is a waste of people's time and money, you know?
Right. I agree.
I don't know what they're thinking. I really don't. But, you know, that's their decision, and they want to keep going and whatever. Oh, well, we're going to take a break. We're not going to keep going. We're going to stop, and the wide world of sports is straight ahead. You're listening to The Chad Report. the late, great Dan Fogelberg and his fifth top 40 hit, Same Old Lang Syne. And that is just about as beautiful as it gets. That's a great song.
Love it, love it, love it. Love Fogelberg.
Yeah, Dan Fogelberg is outstanding and very tragic. He died of prostate cancer in 2007 at the young age of 56. And when you think about the different songs and the music he made, it's just, it's always heartbreaking to me. And, you know, good, bad, what is it they say, I wanted the good die young. Joe Walsh of the Eagles, who was a good friend of his, said that the last 2 years of his life, he has never seen anyone in such excruciating pain. And that really got to me because I thought, this man made some of the most beautiful music, and to know that he went that way is just, it's really sad, you know?
Yeah, it is.
That's very tough. All right, in sports, well, let me just back up. Yesterday we had the Russell Athletic Bowl. That was in Orlando Centris Bowl Stadium in Orlando, Florida. Number 17 Baylor defeated number 10 North Carolina 49-38. In the Arizona Bowl in Tucson, Nevada defeated Colorado State 28-23, thanks to a mistake by Colorado State late in the game. In the Texas Bowl, number 20 LSU defeated Texas Tech 56-27. Ouch. And the Birmingham Bowl. Now we're getting into these are bowls today. In the Birmingham Bowl, it was Auburn 31 and Memphis 10. And let me see, the Belk Bowl, Mississippi State 51, North Carolina State 28. That's in Charlotte, North Carolina. And just getting underway, the Music City Bowl in Nissan Stadium in Nashville, Tennessee. That is Texas A&M 8-4 versus Louisville 7-5. And the late bowl tonight at 9:30 Central Time, the Holiday Bowl in Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego, is the USC Trojans against Wisconsin. And USC is ranked number 25. So a lot of bowl action going on. And, you know, a lot of people are upset, Jeff, because tomorrow, well, there's the Peach Bowl tomorrow. That's at noon. Not a big deal. And it's also not one of the semifinals for the championship as well. But that's the University of Houston at Florida State. However, at 4 p.m. Eastern time, the Orange Bowl at Sun Life Stadium pits number 4 Oklahoma against number 1 Clemson. And then the Cotton Bowl is tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, in AT&T Stadium here in Arlington, Texas. And that's number 3 Michigan State against number 2 Alabama. These are the semifinals who will play for the national championship. So with a 7 p.m. start on New Year's Eve, you know, and many college football games go 4 hours. So you're talking,
right.
Whoever scheduled that should be shot. I'm sorry, but that's ridiculous. You
right.
know?
Exactly. I agree.
On
people
New Year's Eve?
I'm not going to have a lot of viewers.
Well, I mean, the solid college football fans, of course, will be there. But I'm sure there's going to be a lot of unhappy wives whose husbands are glued to the set, and they're not going anywhere. You know,
right? Exactly.
And maybe a few vice versa. You know, we live in a modern world, so maybe a few unhappy house husbands too. Who knows? Oh, I kid. Well, maybe. In the NFL, with Indianapolis' top 3 quarterbacks hurting, the Colts moved swiftly to fill a glaring need. First, they signed former Buccaneers starter Josh Freeman. 90 minutes later, they announced the signing of Ryan Lindley. And what it all means for Sunday's regular season finale against Tennessee remains unclear. And that's because in the AFC, New England, okay, these are the teams that have clinched. New England, the AFC East, and a first-round bye. Cincinnati has the AFC North. Denver has clinched a playoff berth, and Kansas City has clinched a playoff berth. Now, the New York Jets, it's basically win and you're in. The New York Jets can clinch a playoff berth with a win, a tie, or a Pittsburgh loss or tie. So Pittsburgh needs help. For Pittsburgh to get in, they've got to win, and the Jets have to lose. The Houston
right.
Texans, same situation. They can win their division with a win or a tie, or an Indianapolis loss or a tie. And actually, this gets crazy because it gets down to tiebreakers. For Indianapolis to get in, they have to win and win big, and they need for Houston to lose and pretty big. You know what I'm saying? So it's Houston and the Houston Texans, the New York Jets, they control their destiny there. But the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Indianapolis Colts have an outside shot. In the NFC, like I said on the last episode, all teams have clinched. It's just kind of basically there's still some moving around that could be done as far as home field advantage and all that. Carolina has won the NFC South in a first-round bye. The Arizona Cardinals have won the NFC West in a first-round bye. The Washington Redskins have won the NFC East. The Green Bay Packers have won a playoff berth, and Minnesota and Seattle have won a playoff berth as well. So Green Bay can clinch the NFC North with a win or a tie, and Minnesota can clinch it with a win because they play each other, Minnesota and Green Bay, for that last game. So interesting there. What do you see just early on, if you had to throw up a guess for who's going to be in the Super Bowl, what do you have? You want to guess?
Well, I would think I think the Patriots.
Well,
and,
I
think they're going to be one team.
Well, and in the NFC, again, it's the playoff teams are the Carolina Panthers and the Arizona Cardinals are the top two, and then you've got the Redskins who will be on the couch after one game. Let's be honest here. The NFC East champions, are you kidding me? Green Bay, Minnesota, and Seattle. I'm not going to count Seattle out just because when they're hot, they're hot. And they are the defending NFC champions. But, boy, the Carolina Panthers look good.
Yeah, I'd like to see the Panthers win it. I think that'd be great. I don't want to see New England win it again. I just don't want to see that.
And for our fans in New England, our listeners, it's not because he doesn't like.
Well,
it's just because you like to see it spread around. You like to see the trophy spread around, right, Jeff?
Well, no, I think that Tom. Sorry.
Oh, God.
No, I think that Tom Brady got away with. I think he got away with
Boston. Jeff has been into the cooking, Sherry. So.
If I'm being honest.
No, I know exactly what you're saying because of Deflategate.
Yeah, I just think she got away with
it. Unfortunately, the Patriots
have.
Yeah,
who destroys their cell phone? I'm sorry. Who destroys their cell phone? When there's evidence that the potential evidence that could go against, I just don't believe that, and I was very skeptical about going against Tom Brady until that, and when that cell phone was destroyed, it's like okay, there's got to be merit there, and then he appealed it, and then it got reversed. They're a good team, and they're good in their own right. Why did they have to cheat? They didn't. They were good enough to win that without having to cheat, and they're a good team. But I just think that another team deserves it this time, and I think how could you go against Carolina on this?
Well, I agree, and I think a lot of people, Tom Brady's story was not very believable, and he did not, with the whole cell phone scenario, that I agree with that. And I think there are a lot of people who are rooting against the Patriots because of that. They feel like they got away with cheating. And that's unfortunate when you have, especially when you have a talented team, because like you said, this is a talented team, but it's,
they have enough talent. They could have done this without deflating the balls. But that soiled the talent they had because that story, and that being aired and stuff. So, I don't know.
So you're saying Carolina against New England in the Super Bowl with Carolina winning is what you think is going to happen?
Well, that's what I'd like to see. And I, you
what
know
do you
what?
Think's
I,
gonna
I
happen?
Think that that's a tough one.
I'm asking your prediction, damn it.
Okay, all right. Well, if you're gonna put me on the stump here, I'm gonna go with Carolina.
I'd like to see the Cowboys in the Super Bowl, but that's not gonna happen.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm gonna go with Carolina.
And you know what, Jeff? I'm gonna agree with you, and I think it's gonna be Carolina. I will say this:
I just think
Seattle
they have momentum,
Seahawks.
And good usually wins. Good usually wins and prevails usually, and so I'm gonna say Carolina.
The Seattle Seahawks are my dark horse, though. I don't count them. When they're playing top football, they're tough to beat. So, but I'll agree with that, definitely. Wow. Okay, that took 10 minutes to get. something that didn't take so long. Roster administrator Chip Kelly cost coach Chip Kelly his job. The Philadelphia Eagles fired Kelly on Tuesday night with one game left in his third season, dumping the coach/personnel boss after missing the playoffs in consecutive years. Kelly was released before the finale of a disappointing season that began with Super Bowl expectations. The Eagles are 6-9 after going 10-6 2 years in a row. They were eliminated from playoff contention after losing to Washington at home on Saturday night. And there were petitions going around for him to be fired. It was pretty much a matter of time, basically. And Chip Kelly, no longer at Philadelphia. Assistant coach will be the interim for the final game. I was surprised that they didn't wait until what they call Black Monday, you know, the day after the regular season when they usually fire so many coaches. But no, they decided not to. So, a host of games going on tonight in the NBA. As far as nationally televised, there are two. Currently underway are the L.A. Lakers. They travel to Boston to take on the Celtics. And then later tonight at 9 o'clock Central, it's the Denver Nuggets traveling to Portland to take on the Trailblazers. And guess who the Dallas Mavericks host tonight, Jeff? It's 7:30 Central. The Golden State Warriors.
Oh, wow.
Who have lost one game all season. So,
I know.
What fun. We're going to have to, you know what? I'm rooting for my team. Golden State's a great team, but if the Milwaukee Bucks can beat them, we beat the Milwaukee Bucks. So, you know,
right.
Can't we beat the Golden State if we beat the team that beat them? Is that
yeah,
too much to ask?
Yeah. Any team can beat any team. At, you know, any one team can beat another team at any given time. But I tell
any
you what, with Stephon Curry playing, though,
NBA.
I'm just like, oh.
Right.
Stephon
no,
Curry
it will definitely be an uphill climb, for sure. All right, that's going to do it for sports. The entertainment update is next, right here on The Chad Report. number one for two straight weeks in this month of 1969, Steam and their only hits, Na 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 Na, Hey Hey Hey, Goodbye. It's actually, that's what, number one for two, a one-hit wonder, and that's one of those, actually, well, if you're going to have one hit, you want one like that, Jeff, because that's,
right.
Every child knows the chorus to that song. That has become our go-to song when, like, a player gets ejected at a ball game, or if it's a big ball game, and you know that you've defeated another opponent, everyone starts singing that song, you know?
Exactly.
And so that's you know what? That's our ode to 2015. Join with me here, Jeff. Na 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 na.
Na
na na
na.
Hey. Goodbye. I think we're gonna sing there. It has a little delay, but yes, that is our ode to 2015. Get out and don't come back. So, that's one of those. What are the royalties for that? You know what I'm saying? Somebody's got to be sitting at home collecting a check. Okay. Hello.
Exactly.
Wow. No, 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 no. Steam. I only hit number one for 2 weeks. Wow. I would love to have just one hit. And
yeah, like royalties.
Wouldn't you? Especially to get that kind of money.
Exactly. Especially the ones they play at all the games and stuff.
Yes, absolutely. Guns N' Roses with original member Axl Rose and Slash will headline the Coachella Music and Arts Festival in Indio, California, set for April 15th and 16th and April 22nd through the 24th, according to multiple sources. The reunited band is also negotiating with promoters to play as many as 25 football stadiums in North America in the summer of 2016 and is scheduled to be one of the first acts to play the new Las Vegas Arena, set to open April 6th. Guns N' Roses is said to be asking as much as $3 million per show, with tickets topping out in the $250 to $275 range. Wow. Well, I'm glad they were so modest there. Oh my God. The last show Axl Rose and Slash played together, Jeff, was on July 17th, 1993, at River Plate Stadium in Buenos Aires. So, we're talking the next year's 20, so that's 23 years. Wow.
Yeah, I like
right. You know, when I was in high school, they were huge, and I don't know if the thrill is gone or because what I've seen of Axl Rose recently, it's kind of like David Lee Roth.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's just kind of nostalgic for the time frame we grew up.
I agree. And I'm not saying at all that I wouldn't like to see them. I think that would actually be great, to be honest with you. But, and while I'm on David Lee Roth, what happened there? It too. He went from Mr. Cool to Pee Wee Herman. I mean, really, when I saw them on Ellen, when they kicked off that tour.
Keep the microphone stand on the ground.
Oh, yes. That just... I mean, my jaw dropped. I just, you know, and you make millions of dollars. There are hair extensions. There are, do something like George Clinton of Parliament and fuck something. I don't know. Anyway, moving on. Carrie Fisher of Star Wars is pissed, Jeff. Okay.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Well, you know, the old debate about men and women aging, or actually women. Some of the Star Wars fans for The Force Awakens have nobly took it upon themselves to publicly debate whether or not the 59-year-old Princess Leia has aged so well. But Carrie quickly shut them down. Quote, "Please stop debating whether or not I have aged well. Unfortunately, it hurts all three of my feelings. My body hasn't aged as well as I have. Blow us." She later added, "Youth and beauty are not accomplishments. They're the temporary happy byproducts of time and or DNA. Don't hold your breath for either." Ouch. In the midst of schooling folks on the superficiality of ageism and body shaming, Carrie also retweeted this user who highlighted our culture's gross double standard. And this is Izzo Kendall said this: men don't age better than women. They're just allowed to age. So I guess I won't argue with that. There's some truth there. And there is a double standard. I definitely. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, there's double standards.
All our women listeners, do you agree, Jeff?
Yeah. When it relates to men versus women, there are a lot of double standards that shouldn't be there.
Well, look at your local newscast in almost every major city, for starters. How many older women do you see? Usually there's an older man paired with some younger women, you know. And that's just one instance, you know, of that.
Right.
And it's just it's totally BS, if you ask me. And I actually got into an argument on Facebook, if you can believe that, Jeff. You know, I never do that. But this man said that women are. He goes, well, how come? Because I made the argument that women age. I think that's wrong. I think that women do age better than men. I've always thought that. I think that's the biggest. I think that is so backwards. And you can't blanket everybody. I'm not saying all women do. I'm just saying I think a lot of women look their best in their 40s and 50s. They've matured. They know how to wear their makeup. They know what clothes fits their body, you know. And I'm not saying that younger women can't. You know, I think younger women are pretty, like 20s. But a beautiful woman is, you know, show me a 40-year woman that comes in dressed to the nines with the attitude and the positive, you know. That's beautiful to me. And, wow. And you know, his response, well, I don't see a 40-year-old Miss America. Well, when he said that, I didn't have to say another word because this was a lady friend of mine. I thought, well, you just dug your own grave there. So, yeah, I do agree. You look at a couple, a man and wife, they've been married for decades. Look at the woman 30 years later and the man, and you tell me normally who. That's just my opinion, you know. And again, I'm not blanketing her. You know, there's Rob Lowe's and John Stamos's and Ralph Macchio's out there in the world who I'd like to whip their, you know. Many years older than me, and they have raised the bar so high, I'm just going, stop it. Rob Lowe, is that, what is that? Ah,
boy, you know that age. Yeah.
I'm telling you. Okay. The top 10 Billboard albums of the week. At number 10, 21 by Adele, and that's 21, her older album, not her newer one. At number 10, holding at number 10. Dropping four notches to number 9, Beauty Behind the Madness by The Weeknd. Up a notch to number 8, Taylor Swift with 1989. Down one notch to number 7, Traveler by Chris Stapleton. Slipping two notches to number 6, Made in the AM by One Direction. Debuting at number 5, Star Wars, The Force Awakens, the soundtrack. Slipping a notch to number 4, That's Christmas to Me by Pentatonix. Debuting at number 3, Chris Brown and his new LP, Royalty. Holding at number 2, Justin Bieber and Purpose. And holding once again at number 1, Adele and 25. So, huh. Adele and just continues to hold that spot. And Justin Bieber also, that has sold millions. Okay, I know I'm running short on time here. In the Hot 100 singles, we'll do the top 5, and this is pretty easy, and you'll see why. At number 5, What Do You Mean by Justin Bieber. At number 4, Hotline Bling by Drake, which has been a huge hit. At number 3, Love Yourself by Justin Bieber. At number 2, Sorry by Justin Bieber. And at number 1, again, Hello by Adele. Yes, Justin Bieber has 3 of the top 5 singles in America.
Wow.
So that just tells you what that album Purpose is doing. And again, yeah. Hello by Adele. Wow. And absolutely incredible, you know?
Yeah.
On television, the Nielsen ratings. Let's do top 10 network programming. At number 10, Undercover Boss. At number 9, NCIS New Orleans. 8, The Big Bang Theory, episode 1. 7, The Big Bang Theory, episode 2. And at number 6, 60 Minutes Presents. That's at 6. All those are CBS. At number 5, Football Night Part 3. That's NBC. 4, NCIS, CBS. At 3, The OT on Fox. 2, Sunday Night NFL Pre-Kick on NBC. And number 1, The Giants and the Vikings Sunday Night Football on NBC. So second verse then is the first, I guess, as you would say, Jeff. And the number one show on cable, not surprisingly, also football, Monday Night Football on ESPN, that was the Lions and the Saints game. So, wow. With just one day left on the calendar, the world is ready to say hello to a brand new year with the help of some old friends, Ryan Seacrest and Jenny McCarthy, who will count down the final hours of 2015 on Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest on ABC. Boy, that's a long title. Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest on ABC. Okay. Thursday night's December 31st broadcast promises to be an epic evening with 21 acts performing, and Billboard has a sneak peek with the full Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve playlist. It's amazing, McCarthy tells Billboard. If you're a country fan, Times Square is the place to be. That's not something you hear very often. But
yeah.
The lineup includes American Idol and country superstar Carrie Underwood in Times Square, joined by Luke Bryan, Wiz Khalifa, and Charlie Puth, and Demi Lovato. Fergie will toast the evening on the other coast by hosting the Billboard Hollywood Party, which boasts performances by One Direction, 5 Seconds of Summer, Alicia Cara, so many, Fall Out Boy, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, Nick Jonas. And they're throwing the baby boomers and Generation X a bone, Jeff. Jimmy Buffett is also set to wish parrot heads everywhere a Happy New Year with a special performance live from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, where he'll perform Margaritaville.
Oh, wow.
In addition, Taylor Swift, who headlined NYRE in Times Square last year, will debut her new music video for Out of the Woods on the broadcast. Well, we can't miss that. So, I am shocked. That, really, though, usually they have more of a – are you kidding me? all of these acts, and they're all talented, but this is all Generation Y and above and the millennial generation. They threw the baby boomers one bone with one song and the older Generation Xers. Jimmy Buffett performing Margaritaville from Brooklyn, New York. Why is there something wrong with that picture to me? The parrot heads in Brooklyn?
Right.
Oh, God. Was it last year we had Blondie up on there, or is that year before last? They all run together to me, but anyway.
Right.
Wow. Getting stingy over at ABC. All right, Jeff. Celebrity birthday time. Let's start with NBA player LeBron James.
I'm going to say 35.
How did I know you were going to guess him older than he really is?
He's
31 today, but he's always looked older than he really is. A great player, but 31 today for LeBron James. Actor Tyrese Gibson is 37. Golfer Tiger Woods, Jeff?
Say 38.
40, the big 4-0 today.
Wow.
Today show co-host Matt Lauer is 58. TV journalist Meredith Vieira.
I'm going to say 61.
Plus one, 62 today for Meredith. Electric Light Orchestra lead singer Jeff Lynne, who are about to embark on a new tour next year. Back from the dead. Thank God. Wow.
68.
Boom. Right on the money. Good job. Singer Patti Smith is 69. Singer and musician Michael Nesmith is 73. And last but not least, Baseball Hall of Famer Sandy Koufax. Jeff?
Oh, I'm going to say 78.
Plus two, the big 8-0 for Sandy today. So happy birthday to all those celebrities and any of our listeners having a birthday. You can find Jeff and I, on Facebook at Chad Burleson or Jeff Rivers. You can find us on Twitter at Chad Report USA. The Chad Report is distributed by Blog Talk Radio and is a CJ Scorpio Entertainment production. Jeff and I want to wish everyone a happy new year and hope that everything 2016 is very prosperous. Thanks, everybody.